Some Europeans are protesting budget cuts.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us in the United States. Tens of thousands of workers across Europe are staging strikes today. They're angry about government budget cuts in several countries. Labor unions say the rallies are among the largest ever, and Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
How coordinated is this day of protests there?
Very. Up to 100,000 workers from right across the European Union are said to be taking part in a big protest in Brussels. Meanwhile, there's a general strike in Spain today and more protests in Greece, Poland, Italy, Latvia, Ireland and elsewhere. What all these workers are worried about are job cuts and pay cuts in the public sector as a result of deficit reduction by their governments. Here's what one union leader, David Cockcroft, told the BBC.
No one's saying that they have to stop all cuts, but the cuts have got to be negotiated and they've got to be angled towards creating decent jobs. Because if we don't, then we are going to have a real crisis. The double-dip recession will come.
You mentioned Brussels, Stephen. Why are protesters marching there?
Because a lot of the pressure to cut the deficits, to rein back public spending in Europe, is coming from the European Commission, the EU's main executive body. And today, in fact, the Commission is discussing a new plan to punish EU member governments that don't keep their finances in order, that let their public spending spiral out of control.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Now, those strikes are keeping stocks lower in Europe at the moment. European shares are off about 0.5% or so. Investors still rattled by all the sour debt at European banks as well. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 46 points to close at 10,858. Well, debate could start today in the U.S. House on a bill that would pressure China to increase the value of its currency. The measure would make it easier for the U.S. to slap tariffs on Chinese imports. The idea is to make Chinese products more expensive so American companies can compete. But some American business groups don't like the idea. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Supporters of the Currency Reform for Fair Trade Act say China keeps its currency artificially low. That makes its exports much cheaper than U.S. products. U.S. manufacturers can't compete. But some U.S. businesses are afraid the bill could start a trade war. Stephanie Lester is with the Retail Industry Leaders Association. She says many U.S. retailers are opening new stores in China.
And we don't want to see those market opportunities in China harmed by increased tensions with China over currency.
Lester says if the U.S. ratchets up the pressure, China could retaliate against American retailers. The American Soybean Association is also worried. Bob Callanan is the association's spokesman.
And China is our number one soybean customer. So we are very concerned about Congress doing something to interfere with our trade.
This week, China increased duties on imports of chicken from the U.S. just days after a House committee approved the Currency Reform Act. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
And now a note on successful marketing. For the millions of fans of the Grateful Dead who witnessed their music live, it was more than just a concert. It was a world unto itself. All kinds of things, from the illusional to the illegal, were being sold, bartered, and branded at those shows. In a new book, one author looks at the band as business model. Brian Halligan co-authored Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead, and he's with us now. Brian, welcome to Marketplace.
How are you?
Doing well. So when I think of the Grateful Dead, I think of counterculture and I think of drugs and I think of reckless abandonment. I don't, however, think of marketing and this big business model. I mean, what did you see?
Well, I went to over 100 concerts and I was struck by, boy, there's just hundreds of thousands of rabid fans, and they follow them across the country. And I was like, the Grateful Dead are brilliant marketers, and they do things in a very counterintuitive way from a marketing perspective.
Now, you weren't going to show after show and saying to yourself, wow, what brilliant marketers. I mean, you obviously had a draw to them. You were listening to the music. You were sort of enveloped into the scene. I mean, when did this dawn on you that they were such great marketers?
Yeah, I'm a big Grateful Dead fan, and I'm a big kind of marketing transformation fan. What I noticed about the Dead is they're kind of what I call the world's first inbound marketers. And what inbound marketing essentially is when you create lots and lots of content, whether it's blog content or ebooks or videos, and each little piece of content you create becomes like a magnet for potential customers. It pulls them in via Google, blogs, and social media. The Grateful Dead were kind of the world's first inbound marketers because they allowed people like me to come to their shows, and they encouraged us to record the concerts. And when we recorded the concerts, we made copies of those tapes, spread them to our friends. Those copies pulled in new fans, and each copy of the show was like a mini magnet that pulled in new customers, essentially, for them to their concerts.
What kind of lessons have businesses today learned from what the Grateful Dead did so many years ago?
They really broke down the barrier between themselves and the fans. The fans were almost part of the concert. And I think that's what modern business owners should do, is with the internet, you should break down the barriers between your company and your fans or your customers and be much more interactive. Gen X, Gen Yers don't want this high barrier between the company and themselves. They really want a collaborative, interactive relationship, and they want to be part of the creation of the product in the business.
Brian Halligan, author of the book Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, say you're a business owner. You walk into a bank, ask for a loan, and the banker says no. But a British property developer didn't just leave defeated. He left the bank without a doorway, sealing off the entrance with bricks and mortar. A taste of their own medicine, he says. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.